You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at TicketKing.com. Again, that's TicketKing.com.
Let's talk in Pack.
I don't know exactly what rock bottom looks like for the 2022 Green Bay Packers, but whatever it is, it sure looks like they're nearing it. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talkin' Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's. You know what word comes to mind when you think of that? Pathetic. 27-10 loss to the New York Jets on Sunday at Lambeau Field. 27-10. 27-10 to the Jets. The Jets! The New York Jets! You know why I picked this game as the one I'd go to at Lambeau this year? Well, partially it was because I only had a few to choose from, but also because it was the freaking Jets! This looked like an easy dub. Not a dub. Nope. Not even a close loss. A blowout. A blowout. Losing by 17 at home is a blowout, folks. It's an out-and-out ass-kicking. They got their asses kicked. Not great. Not great. Lambeau, of course, is always great. Going to Lambeau is always great. And I'll sprinkle in some of the more interesting things I saw Sunday at the game as we move along tonight. Some observations, some funny moments, etc. You know, you always see some weird, funny, interesting things in an afternoon at Lambeau. This game, no exception. Thank you, of course, for your patience. This episode coming to you a day later than it usually does. As I said on the show last week, there was no way I could do the show Sunday night. But I'll tell you, I had quite a few beers at the game Sunday. I'm feeling it today. So even if I had brought my mic and my laptop with me, I mean, it's not that this show would have been, like, incoherent or anything, because I can hold my liquor. I'm a pro, okay? It's more that, like, I would have been able to capture the anger appropriately, but it would have been too all over the map as far as my thoughts, you know what I mean? Like, you would have been like, damn, he's jumping all over the place. This is some wild shit. It wouldn't have been up to my standards, is what I'm saying. Chris, you have standards? Kind of. And you know what? I'll just go ahead and save you the trouble of wondering now and tell you yes. Why, yes, I did boo. I was one of the people booing. Yes, 110% I was a booer. Absolutely. Look, booing to me, that's why my voice probably sounds tired. Apologies for that. Booing to me is perfectly acceptable when you have to sit through a lifeless shit show like that. Hey, those tickets aren't cheap, you know what I'm saying? But more importantly, look, I really believe booing is the most healthy way to show your disgust with the on-field product, right? We all know the things you don't do as fans. You don't go after these guys on social media. You don't go after their families. You don't get nuts and run on the field and attack them. You don't harass them in public. Those things are simply wrong. They're not at all cool. We don't do them. We know this. So then how else are you supposed to voice your displeasure? Right? You boo. You boo. It's a perfectly healthy expression, in my opinion. Who else's opinion would it be, Chris? It's your show. It was funny. I was watching, I was up in Appleton at my sister's house last night, and I was watching Cover 2, I believe it's called. It was on the ABC affiliate in Green Bay. And they had some local media members on the panel. They did like an ad libs thing at the end, and one of them was all the booing from the fans was blank. And Jason Wilde, the Packers beat reporter version of the Saturday Evening Post, he's so pleasant. He said it was unproductive. Unproductive. Oh my God! It's like if Ted Lasso, the TV show, was a person, it would be Jason Wilde. So I wasn't surprised that he said that, but no, I completely disagree. And it was nice to see the other members of the panel disagree with him on that, too. Anywho, with the loss, the Packers dipped to 3-3 on the season. They are now 2 games plus the tiebreaker behind the Minnesota Vikings, who improved to 5-1 as a result of their 24-16 road win over the Miami Dolphins. The Chicago Bears lost to the Washington Commanders, Green Bay's next opponent, 12-7 in an absolutely scintillating affair on Thursday Night Football. And the Detroit Lions, well, they were on bye, so they remain at 1-4. Hey, at least they didn't lose, right? Though if any team could lose on their bye week. And the Red Wings, hey, I told you, the Red Wings might push for a playoff spot. I said that, didn't I, last week? Won their first two, got a point in overtime tonight against the Kings. So 5 out of 6 possible points in their first 3 games. There's hope there, Detroit sports fans. Just forget about the Lions. It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. Just focus on the Red Wings. As a fellow Michigander, that is my advice to you. Okay, before we get into the fun, God, I hope you're having fun already. I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love, or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, LampsMKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, oldbagofdonuts, olbagofdonuts@gmail.com. Again, you can write in during the week. You know, you don't have to save your emails for right after the game. Got a nice email last week after the show ran from a fan named Andy. That was really appreciated. Thank you so much for sending that, Andy. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Me like you those the most. 4 stars are good, too. Leave a comment. Preferably one that's positive. That would be nice. We're on Spotify. You can find us by searching for Packers Talk and looking for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. And you can leave a rating there. Also, remember, if you subscribe there, right at the top of the page, there's a little box with a star. You can click on that, and then you can rate the show 1 through 5. Again, me like you 5 stars the most. And if you listen on a platform I don't mention, again, please let me know what it is. We're on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us there as well. And just subscribe. You know, I'm just going to tell you, just mindlessly subscribe. Mash down on that subscribe button. Then we deliver the shit right to your phone. It's there Monday morning, or in this case, it'll be Tuesday morning for my show. The other shows throughout the week, you'll wake up, boom, it's right there. You don't have to search for it. And we're not going to tell anybody what's on your phone. Whatever apps you have or anything like that, our lips are sealed. We don't say anything. You have our word on that, I promise you. And a special shout-out to our wonderful sponsor, Ticket King. For all your Packers ticket needs, go to their website, theticketking.com. You know, I still love them. They're not following me. It's not going to happen. I still love them anyways, though. I still love Ticket King. I love you, Ticket King. Hey, you know what? If you're on Twitter, maybe fire a tweet their way and tell them to follow me. That might help. Be polite about it. But say, hey, maybe give It's Just Chris Now a follow. That might be nice. Okay, now that we've done got all that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in because, God, do we have to? You guys, you know, I'm well-versed in things other than the Packers, right? You sure you guys don't want me to talk about anything else? One of those areas? Maybe my thoughts on the pop culture issues of the day or maybe the upcoming elections? Actually, you know what? Politics is probably the one thing even less enjoyable to discuss than the current state of the freaking Packers. So, okay, you win, you win. We'll talk about the Packers. Let's talk about this Packers. Ugh. A big orange-faced angry emoji. Ugh. That's what this is. That's the kind of L it is when you lose to the freaking Jets by 17 points at home. And as for where I want to start, well, there's no other place to start than by talking about this offense. This Packers offense fucking stinks. Stinks. Just a big pile of cow crap. That's what this Packers offense is right now. That's what it's been most of the season. Sunday was no different. This is by far the worst they've looked offensively during, not just the Matt LaFleur era, that's obvious, but the Aaron Rodgers era as well. I can't remember. I don't think there's a 6-game stretch where they've played this poorly. And I do think Sunday was rock bottom as far as that goes. Yeah, we've never seen this before with 12 under center. Not even really close, I don't think. You know, being at the game where I usually sit, way up in section 107, I get basically like an all 22 view on every play, which is nice. And I'll tell you, what I saw was, oh my God, it was not pretty. Like, what you saw on TV was bad. What I saw at the game center, it looks even worse. You know? I mean, UGLY, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly bad. It is bad. As for who's the main culprit, right, there's a lot of debate. Is it Rodgers? Is it LaFleur? Is it the offensive line? Is it the lack of talent at wide receiver? Really, to me, it's Rodgers, LaFleur, and the offensive line. That's kind of, they're all kind of working together to bring this thing down to Anthony Dilwegi in depths. Damn, Anthony Dilwegi catching strays here tonight. That's where we're at with this group. That's what it looks like. You know, some early 90s shit. Right before Favre came in and took over. That's what we're looking at here. That's what we're dealing with. Oh yeah, we're there now. So let's first start by talking about Aaron Rodgers. He finishes the game 26 of 41 for 246 yards, one touchdown, no picks, 6.0 yards per attempt. He was sacked four times and I believe hit nine times. A little Ferris Bueller free on that one. Nine times. More on that in a minute. Some good moments from Rodgers, the touchdown to Alan Lazard, that was a really nice pass, for example. He had that one down the sidelines to Lazard that was dropped right into a bucket in tight coverage. That was a beautiful play, but it was in the first half. That was a beautiful play. But, I mean, obviously, overall, not nearly enough. Not enough. Simply put, a $50 million a year quarterback, he has to be better than this, folks. Period. Period. Right? He's missing throws. He had a couple of nice ones, but overall, the accuracy continues to be lacking for him. You know, the one that really stood out to me was the throw to Aaron Jones down the sidelines. And if you go back and look, and I've seen a couple of people post this on Twitter today, Jones has a step on the DB, and if Rodgers throws that ball in the right spot, kind of inward, kind of on his inward shoulder, Jones probably catches that and probably scores. That's what it looked like on that play. But he didn't. Inaccurate throw, it leads Jones to the sidelines, can't get his feet in, incomplete. That was one that really stood out to me, you know? Had a couple of throws that could have been picked, maybe should have been picked. The one on, I believe it was the fourth down. It was the fourth quarter. That fourth down throw where he really forced it, he was coming, he forced it over the middle of the field. That probably should have been, that's the one that jumps out there. The hero ball is still there, you know? So I love the call late in the first half. Now, you know me. You guys know I'm normally kind of a play-it-safe guy. But I do want to talk about this play. Fourth and three at the Jets 46. Little over 2 minutes to go in the first half. Packers kind of maybe, you know, trying to get some points on the board. Right? How many first downs they pick up on that? One. They picked up the one first down. They're nearing midfield. I like the idea to go for it. Normally I'm not that aggressive, but I like that decision. You know, let's try to light a spark here. But what does Rodgers do? Goes deep to Romeo Doubs. Fourth and three. And he's taking a deep shot. Just get 3 yards. Keep the freaking thing moving. Try to get into a rhythm. Hero ball. It's still the problem with him. Just play within the offense. That's a low percentage pass. What were the odds you were going to complete that? Very low. So the hero ball is still there, obviously. That killed that drive. He's not making pass rushers miss like he used to. You know, guys he could escape before. It feels like he's really just not escaping them now. Feels like he's lost maybe a half a step or step. There was the one play he could have easily ran for the first down, had a lot of real estate and didn't. I don't remember what point in the game that was at. But you watched. I'm sure you remember it. Didn't, you know, this feels like the first year he's turned down a play like that, right? Like, even though we all know he's taking off less than he has in the past. That's what happens to all these guys as they get older. This feels like the first year he turned down that run, that scramble. Feels like the first year he would do something like that. So, you know, that's troubling, but really It's those things, but it's just the overall vibe coming off of Rodgers, frankly, sucks. It sucks. You know? Again, being there, I felt like I could almost feel it. Like, it just, he feels like a guy, there's no nice way to say this. He feels like a guy who really didn't want to come back. He really kind of wanted to retire after last season. But shit, man, they're begging me. They're throwing an obscene amount of money my way. I guess I'll come back. Why not? But that's how he's played. He's played like he doesn't give an F. You know, total screw it vibe just emanating off of Rodgers. Again, I really picked up on it, ping. Yeah, I could feel it. You know, there was that one play, the third down sack that ended the drive. He couldn't quite get away from the pass rusher, got tripped up sack. Just kind of the look on him, just kind of, oh, whatever. No emotion, no passion. You know, and look, teams feed off of their quarterbacks. They feed off that energy. So we've been talking all year about this team's energy, their vibe, the intensity. It all sucks. And it's not a surprise that Rodgers, you know, I think that a lot of that comes from him. These things are all related. Absolutely. I don't see how you could say otherwise. Now, is he washed? That's a question you're starting to see more and more people wondering that. Is he washed up? Is it over? Now, I'm not ready to say that yet. The thought's entered my mind. I'm sure it's entered most of your minds as well. Right? Let's be honest here. But I'm not there yet. I will say, though, for anybody who's like, no way, he can't be washed. He won MVP last year. I will say, it's not impossible for such a thing to happen. How, Chris? But how could he be washed after winning MVP last year? Couple names I want you to keep in mind here. Let's talk about our old pal Brett Favre. Right? Look at Favre's 09 season with the Vikings, the year that he turned 40 in October. Close his ad. I can't believe we still have pop-up ads in 2022. Are you kidding me? So 09, right? His first year with the Vikings. We all remember that. They go 12-4. He turns 40 in October of that year. 33 touchdowns, 7 picks, 4,200 yards passing. He's brilliant. He leads the Vikings to the doorstep of the Super Bowl. Comes back the next year in 2010. They begged him to come back. Does that sound familiar? They begged him to come back. And right from the jump, it was clear Favre was done. He was abysmal that year. 11 touchdowns, 19 picks. Is that right? Do I have that right? Yeah, 11 touchdowns, 19 interceptions. Those were just over 2,500 yards in 13 games. Terrible. He was terrible, and that was the last time we saw Favre. Oh, do you need another name? I have one for you. How about Peyton Manning? Peyton Manning in 2014 for Denver goes 12-4. 39 touchdowns, 15 picks, 4,700 yards passing, a little over 4,700 yards, 66.2 completion percentage, right? Completes 66.2% of his passes. And looks brilliant. Looks like the same Manning that we've always, that we had seen all throughout his career up to that point. Comes back in 2015, again, is cooked. Cooked, and you could tell right away. That season, 9 touchdowns, 17 picks. Oh my God, just over 2,200 yards in 9 games. Completion percentage dips from 66.2 to just under 60%. Now, he won a Super Bowl that year because obviously that Broncos defense was brilliant. But, you know, he had it. There was no reason to think he was going to lose it, and he lost it. Same thing happened to Favre, right? Sometimes it happens just that fast. So I'm just saying, I'm not ready to say he's washed up, but I'm just saying, don't just say, well, there's no way it could happen because he won MVP last year. It can happen. It has happened, you know? Should the Packers have traded him this last offseason? I mean, you know, if you listen to the show, some people like yours truly said as much. I said I thought, seeing what Denver got for Russell Wilson, I would have rather that the Packers traded him. I said that on the show right after he announced he was coming back. What was that, March? So, you know, I'm not changing my tune on that. That's what I said at the time. Felt like the right decision. Could this be his last year? Maybe. You know? At this point, the way he's played and the way the team looks, would that be the worst thing? No. Again, but there is time to turn that around. But right now, no, it doesn't. Right now, again, this feels like this is the last year for Aaron Rodgers, which is crazy because I, you know, said in August I thought he was going to play 2 or 3 more years, maybe even 4. Now I don't know. You know, these 6 games have been a real eye-opener. His coach isn't doing him any favors either, is he? No, he's not. Matt LaFleur is definitely not. 12 touches for Aaron Jones this week. 12. 12 touches for Aaron Jones this week. Even saying that now blows my mind. At the game I was going, do they know 33 is on the team? Like, I'm drunk and I know he's on the team. Does LaFleur know? Jones, 9 carries, 19 yards, 3 catches for 25 yards. So 12 touches for 44 yards. Certainly not a day to remember for him. But this is the big one. 3 touches in the first half. Unbelievable. 3 touches in the first half of this game. After last week, after the debacle in London, when it was like, we have to get 33 involved more. I was certain he'd be a major part of the game plan, early and often. Certain. That's why I was so confident they'd win Sunday. I was like, they're back at home. They realized they effed up with not getting Jones the ball last week. They saw what happened in that Pats game, the difference between, which I talked about on the show, the difference between when they had success and when they didn't in that Pats game. When they had success, it's when he got the ball. When they didn't, it's when he didn't. Then they really learned the lesson in London. Okay, they're going to fix it this week. I was certain, and it didn't happen. That's impossible to believe. But it didn't. In fact, A.J. Dillon was more of a factor in terms of touches than Jones. How is that even possible? Jones, 9 carries. Dillon, 10. Jones, 3 catches. Dillon, 4. Dillon, 6 targets. Jones, 4. It's not just numbers. It's targets in the receiving game. That's crazy to me. You know? How is A.J. Dillon getting more work than Aaron Jones? You know? And yet there's LaFleur again after the game. You know, he's going 3 touches. What was his quote? 3 touches in the first half. That's not good enough. He's doing this shit again. Now, I talked about this last week, too, after the show. This passive observer bit from him is, I'm over it. It's garbage. He talks like someone else is running the team. This is your team, Matt. Am I going to have to say this every week? This is your team, Matt. How many times are we going to have to do this? Jones is the most explosive offensive player. He is their best skill position guy by not just a little bit, but by a mile, in my opinion. And they're not getting him the ball. Until they fix this, the offense is going to struggle. It's going to be bogged down. I don't know what else to tell you. You know, another area LaFleur is totally botched. Why? That would be the offensive line. Boy, the offensive line, a strength for years for this franchise. Suddenly looks, I wouldn't even say average. They look bad. This is a bad offensive line right now. They got their asses whooped Sunday. Now, that Jets front is good. You know, the Williams, is it Williams? Is it Quinnen Williams? I mean, am I saying his name right? Yeah, Quinnen Williams. I mean, you knew he was a stud coming into the league. And he showed why. I mean, he showed he's turning into really, really one of the better defensive linemen in the game. I saw that was clear Sunday. But they got their asses kicked every week. There's LaFleur up there talking about, yeah, we play the best 5. Yet it never happens. They're not playing the best 5. You know, Elgton Jenkins struggles, keeps struggling. He was good against the Giants, but that was his one good game all season. Struggled the rest of the way. You going to move him back to guard, Matt? Yeah, everything's on the table, he says. Says that almost every week, too, it feels like. You know, I'm beginning to think LaFleur is just mocking us by saying this stuff. She's trying to pacify us. I don't know, I really am, because everyone knows the 5 they're running out there ain't the best 5. We know this. Everybody knows this. Royce Newman is not one of the best 5 offensive linemen on the team. I mean, are you kidding me? And then he starts out, he has a terrible start Sunday. They finally sack up and bench him. Okay, that's good. I like that idea. But who replaces him? Zach Tom? Do they shuffle things around and, you know, kick Jenkins inside and maybe move Josh Nyman out to right tackle? Nope. They bring in Jake Hansen. Hansen! And then he gets hurt. Okay, so now he's hurt. So now Tom's going to get a shot, right? Now you got to go to Zach Tom. Or now you move things around, right, with Nyman. Nope, they bring Newman back in. I don't understand any of this. I don't get this at all. But it's not just LaFleur here, of course, you know. The players up front have to play better. It's just a lot of mediocrity all across the line. I could see that very clearly being at the game, watching specific linemen on specific plays or sequences of plays. It's just no one's playing well up front. I don't care whatever Pro Football Focus says. Or whatever, no one's playing well up front. And you know what? I do wonder if there's been some drop-off in terms of the offensive line coach spot. Going from the excellent Adam Stenovich, who is now the offensive coordinator, to Luke Butkus, previously the assistant O-line coach. You know, I think it's definitely fair to wonder if maybe Butkus isn't quite the coach Stenovich was in that spot. Yeah. You know, Stenovich may need to get even more involved in the offensive line stuff, because I don't think Butkus is getting it done. So yeah, total failure in the trenches for the Packers. Total failure. And look, since the offensive line is really the engine that powers any offense, any good offense anyways, it's hard to see Green Bay getting this thing off the ground with the offensive line playing this way. You know, but again, it's everybody. It's Rodgers is playing like crap, and LaFleur is making terrible coaching decisions, and, you know, the mismanagement of the rostered offensive line is embarrassing. So it's everything. It's not one guy or even a couple. It's everybody. The offense has played like crap. You know, I mentioned the receivers. I don't even think that's in the top three of issues. No, not at this point. So those are my main thoughts. I definitely had issues with the defense and the special teams as well. And I know there's some questions and comments that mention them. So I'm going to get to those in this next part of the show here. Again, like I said last week, I'm just going to kind of focus on one or two main things in the first part of the show and then get to the rest if and when there are a lot of questions and comments. And boy, are there a lot of questions and comments this week. Strap in, as I expected there would be, which is great. But by doing this way, I'm not just repeating myself for this next part of the show. It feels like it's better that way. It's not just like, well, like I said earlier, like I don't want to keep doing that. So let's get to those now. Let's start with Twitter. These are in no particular order. Let's begin with Javier Cabrera at JaCabrera24. He asks, flying to D.C. to see this mediocre team play in person. Please tell me they can beat the Commanders. Well, do you want me to lie to you? No. They can. They can, Javier. Will they? I don't know. I don't know if I would. I don't think they're a slam dunk to beat anybody at this point. But can they? Certainly. I mean, the Commanders are not a great team by any stretch. They're, you know, probably one of the few teams in the NFC that are actually definitely worse than the Packers right now. So, yes, they can beat the Commanders. I don't think you're definitely flying out there to see a loss. I wouldn't say that, no. The next one comes from Daniel Ray, the third at DRay3. He writes, defense useless after halftime as usual and no offense, so we just bad. Oh, we just bad, all right. You got that right, Daniel. Amen there, brother. Yeah, let's talk about the defense. Because I hadn't mentioned them yet. It was kind of fool's gold to me, that performance. You know? Yeah, they held them to 3 points in their first 8 drives. That's good. But when they absolutely needed a stop, when they needed those stops in the fourth quarter, Couldn't get him. You know? Was it there? Yeah. Hold on 1 second here. Yeah. Packers score late in the third quarter, right? Make it 17-10. Get a stop. This is where you have to get a stop. This is where you have to get off the field. And the Jets get burned on that Bryce Hall, the 34-yard touchdown. So, yeah, you're right. The defense was useless after halftime, especially, again, as the game, you know, as we got to the really crucial part of the game. They needed to make a stop, and it's going backwards in that department. That's the troubling thing. You know, you look at the Tampa Bay game. They needed to get a stop at the end on the 2-point. They did. They needed to get stops in that New England game, and they did. They were showing that championship medal in that area. But now the last 2 weeks against the two New York teams, they've needed to get stops, and they can't get them. They can't get them. The run defense continues to be embarrassing in those spots. In particular, you know the Jets are going to lean on the run game with Wilson being a fairly young quarterback. They still couldn't get the stops. So, yeah, it was pathetic defense in that second half. So, to me, it was kind of a fool's goal. I know people are going to go, but the offense couldn't stay. I don't buy any of that. The defense has to make these stops. This defense is too good and too talented to not get a stop against the freaking Jets when they need one in the fourth quarter. They're too talented for that to not happen, but it didn't happen. And then the last Jets possession where they ran it, was it 13 times in a row? That was embarrassing, but the game was over by that point. They had quit, so I don't even really fault them for that. It was the sequences before that, the series before that, when they needed to get a stop, they couldn't. You know? There were some things I liked from the defense. I will say that. There were a couple things I liked. Felt like they played man more. That was good. I liked that. Felt like they were blitzing more. Felt like they were blitzing some corners and some safeties. I liked that. That was kind of a new thing. I love the idea of just putting Ja on Garrett Wilson, their number one pick, their wide receiver from Ohio State, and Ja shut him down. Wilson finishes with one catch for 8 yards. So they did play matchup football there finally with Ja, so that was nice to see. But yeah, you know, disappointing. Yeah, for sure. Next one comes from Curtis at KS Polish. He writes, I'm going to the game next week. Oh, man. Pray for you guys going to the game next week. I'm going to the game next week. Is there an attitude issue with this team? How can I go to Washington and still have a good time watching this track? Okay, so for the second part of your question, do you enjoy alcohol? I found alcohol made it easier to tolerate the team yesterday. So I would say that maybe. Maybe booze? If you not like, you have a couple drinks, maybe? Is there an attitude issue? Yeah, there is. Yeah, there's a major attitude issue with the team. They don't give a shit. It's, again, really clear seeing that in person. There's just no fire. There's no passion. It just looks like a bunch of dudes clocking in and clocking out, and I'm here. I showed up. I did my job. I got my check. I'm going home. That's the vibe from this team. You know? There's definitely an attitude issue, no question. Yeah, there's a big attitude issue, for sure. The next one comes from Lucky at the Madisonian. He writes, the big mystery. Do you think 12 plays through next season? Or just takes his guaranteed golden parachute and calls it a career? That is, you know, talked about, I hate saying this, I did talk about this a little bit earlier. At this point, I would say this probably is his last year, yeah. Which is crazy because, I was a guy all offseason in camp. I'll admit I was wrong on that. Right now I look wrong. Because I was saying all summer, I saw the Andrew Brandt stuff about, oh, it's essentially a one-year deal. They can get out of it after this year with fairly minimal cap damage compared to what the damage looks like in future years if he keeps playing. Or if he retires, 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line. But I was like, that's all bullshit. He's playing 2 more years or 3 more years. He's locked in. He's coming back. And now I got to admit, I look dumb for saying that. Because right now, I don't think he plays through next season. I think this is it. Yeah. It's not fun. The offense is bogged down. You know, he's not really clicking with the young guys a little bit, but not really. Like, hey, maybe if he had shown up for the OTAs and minicamps, it might have helped, huh? Instead of taking ayahuasca on a beach somewhere or whatever. But I digress. It just feels like this isn't fun. It doesn't feel like he's enjoying it. It doesn't feel like anybody's enjoying it. So, yeah, at this point, I would say this probably is it. Unless something turns around and fast. Yeah, it was weird yesterday being at the game and going like, man, this might be the last time I see Aaron Rodgers in person. It's starting to feel that way, though. Absolutely. So those are all the Twitter questions. Thank you for those. We move now briskly to the emails, and oh my God, were there a lot of emails. We start first with Sean. He writes, Lemps, Pack looked terrible in all three phases. A lot of people are upset with Rodgers. I thought he played okay, but he was hit and under duress the whole game. I think the O-line was horseshit all game. Hope you were able to get a little joy at being at the game today. Hopefully tailgating before the game was fun at least. Yeah, Sean, tailgating was fun. Yeah, I met up, my wife and I went, we met up with a couple of friends, longtime friend of mine and his wife, we met up with them before the game and had a couple drinks, we parked over at Packerland Glass Company, I believe it's called, right over by the distillery, which is, that's my favorite place in Green Bay. So we went to we parked there, and then we walked over to the distillery to Kyle Cousineau's tailgate. If you're on Twitter, you know who Kyle Cousineau is, the mayor of Green Bay, great dude, hung out with him and his all the people there for a while. My wife and I met a couple of fellow Youpers. I'm a Youper. They were just people from Rapid River. They were very nice. Talked to them for a while. So the tailgating was fun. I had quite a few beers. It was good stuff. I was really enjoying everything about the experience. Was awesome except for the game. Everything else was fun, you know? We went to the distillery after and watched the Bills-Chiefs game, my wife and I, and had kind of like a early dinner, late lunch. It was fun, yeah. I enjoyed everything except for the 3 hours that the game was actually being played. For your question, yeah, they were bad in all three. The special teams sucked. The special teams, that was the worst performance of the Rich Bisaccia era thus far. It was a disaster, you know? Which is saying something, because I thought O'Donnell hit the ball pretty well. Crosby made his one... he didn't. But O'Donnell hit the ball well. Nixon had the nice kick return. Amari had a nice... What was it? The one nice punt return. Still think there's some hope for him there in that area. He had one... The one reception, too. So maybe if you play him at receiver, maybe he could do something. Maybe give him a chance now. Feels like they might have to with Cobb being out now for at least, you know, the foreseeable future. Maybe give Amari Rodgers a shot. That's, if I could just say quick, that's the thing that kills me. People go, he can't play. How do you know he can't play? They haven't even given him a chance. You know? Because he's buried at that spot behind Rodgers, is one of his best friends. Maybe he'll get a look now. He had the one catch, looked all right. But I digress. Yeah, the special teams was shit, you know? The block field goal was bad, and then, of course, the block punt for the touchdown is just unacceptable. So, yeah, it feels like they definitely took three or four steps back in this one. So, yeah, it's kind of back to the drawing board for Bisaccia. Yeah, and you're right about Rodgers. Like I said, there were some moments. You know, that's why it's hard for me to say he's totally washed up, because he still hits some of those throws where you're like, oh my God, like two other guys on the planet could hit that throw. That one down the sideline to Lazard, there's like two or three guys on the planet that could make that throw. So it's hard for me to say he's totally washed. You're right, he did. I mean, four sacks, nine hits. So yeah, he got his ass whooped. Yeah, the offensive line was horseshit. I agree. So thank you for that, Sean. Our next one comes from the first of the Kyles. And that would be Kyle Terpenny, who refuses to get Twitter, and God bless you. Kyle writes, "This has been a miserable sports weekend for me. My undefeated Trojans, and probably best hope for a Pac-12 team in the college football playoffs, lost. My best team in baseball, Dodgers, got crushed by a division rival that we destroyed all season and got bounced out of the playoffs. And then my favorite team of all three, the Packers, got dominated on Sunday. The absolute only bright side is I didn't have to see the Packers game as it wasn't on TV here in Arizona, and I'm out with family for a 36-hour vacation. I think it's safe to say this Packers team is a disaster this year. They just aren't a good team. A mediocre team, really. I'm starting to think this team will not only miss the playoffs, but will probably pick top 10 in the draft. This was the easy part of our schedule. The part we were supposed to fortify our record for the hard games against Buffalo, Miami, Philadelphia, Tennessee. To be honest, I'll be surprised if the Packers are favored next week against Washington. If we lose that one, might as well tank to get as close to a top five pick as we can get. Well, time to salvage the rest of the weekend. Time to salvage the rest of the weekend with time with wife and best daughter ever. Go Packo." Okay, so I hope you were able to salvage the rest of the weekend with your wife and your daughter and your vacation. Because I'll tell you what, this team. Right now, it ain't worth it to let them ruin your time. This team is not that special. Certainly do not let them ruin your vacation, because holy shit, this team isn't worth it. Not right now. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough about the Trojans and the Dodgers. I feel bad for you on that. My Gophers got pretty much embarrassed by Illinois, so, you know, that's two in a row now. So any hope I thought that they were going to have winning the Big Ten West, it's pretty much, I think that's gone now. So yeah. I know what you mean about other sports. Okay, but your Packers stuff. This team is a disaster. I agree, they are very mediocre. I mean, you are what your record says you are, right? As Bill Parcells famously said, 3-3, that's mediocre. I don't know if I'm ready to say they'll miss the playoffs, but it's certainly looking like the division is going to be a long shot. They may have to sneak in that back door as a wild card. Yeah, I'll say I would agree with you there at this point. Because you're right. I mean, this was supposed to be the part where they were racking up the wins. You're right. They were supposed to be 5-1 at this point. I think that's what I had them at. But they're 3-3. And you're right. It gets a lot tougher. A lot tougher. Buffalo, like you said, Miami, Philly, Tennessee. They're going to get Minnesota again. They're going to get the Rams later in the year. You can't count the Rams out for turning it around. Even though they've had a tough start, too. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, God, that Buffalo game in 2 weeks on Sunday Night Football looks like it's going to be... Right now, if they play this way, they're going to get embarrassed. They're going to get run out of the building. You know? They'd be better off spending their time in the parking lot jumping through tables in Buffalo than showing up, if this is how they're going to play when they show up. Yeah, that'll be they'll get killed. You're right. So I'm not ready to say that I think they're going to miss the playoffs or be in play for a top 10 pick. But, you know, if they lose this week, yeah, 3-4, and that Buffalo game sure looks like a loss, and you're looking at 3-5, and yeah, at that point, it's going to be a real uphill battle just to sneak in that back door as a wild card team. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with some of what you're saying, for sure. Yeah, and thank you for sending that in. Our next one comes from Andy. Andy, who sent me the really nice email last week. Again, appreciate that, Andy. Titles his email, Pack Suck. Lemps. I've been shocked over that loss to the once pathetic Jets. I really shouldn't be that shocked, though, to be honest. But where is their pride? Where is the fight in tie game after half? What is happening with the offensive line? They aren't just bad. The Jets' D was living in the backfield. Where is the D? Where is the running game? 7 drop balls. Rodgers, no pocket presence. Poor tackling. Always out of position. Special teams disasters. The list goes. Tired of hearing about the talent on the team or bad coaching. It's got to be both. Something drastic needs to change this week. Someone needs to be accountable for that dreadful of a loss. Going to be hard to watch the rest of the year. Might not be favorites to beat even the Commanders next week. LOL. Going to need your podcast more than ever to unravel this one. Take care. So, Andy, thank you for writing that. Or as he regards PB Ziggy. I don't know if you want me to call you Andy. I'll call you, let's say Ziggy. So, Ziggy, thank you for that. Yeah, I'm hoping to help you guys feel better, you guys and gals feel better. So you touched on a lot here, which is cool. You talked about the pride. It definitely feels like it's lacking. You know, interesting point about the drop balls. The receivers certainly are not helping. You know, I talked a little while ago about how I don't think they're in the top three issues, but it certainly is an issue. You know, we kind of all overestimated, I think, myself included. I said, Rodgers will make this talent work. You know, my favorite man is the open man, spread the ball around. But the receivers haven't helped him out as much as they could at times. For sure, I definitely think that's been an issue. And great point about the poor tackling and being always out of position, because I haven't mentioned that yet with the defense. This is hard. This is going to be hard for me because I love Devondre Campbell, and he is my guy from the University of Minnesota, Sky Umaha. I'll admit I'm guilty of kind of maybe wearing maroon and gold glasses and overlooking some of the flaws from him this year, but it was readily apparent yesterday. That touchdown run by Hall that I just mentioned, go watch Adams as Hall's about the 5-yard line, 6-yard line. Campbell is coming in high. Devondre's coming in high. It looks like he's trying to grab at his arms. What are you doing? It's embarrassing. And he's been missing tackles, you know, throughout the year. Again, I probably took it a little easy on him because he is my guy, but I can't anymore. He's been shit. For a lot of the year, he's been bad. You know, Quay Walker has not played well. That's the kind of to be expected. He's a rookie. Campbell, this has been a significant drop-off from what we saw last year. And he has to get going. He has to get going. But it's not just Campbell. Again, I know I sound like a broken record, but being at the game, I could really see they're always out of position. The angles they take on some of the angles these defenders take on the ball carrier is ridiculous. It's absurd. I mean, it's like Pop Warner stuff. Some of these angles and where they are in position, I don't know what's going on here. But for a group that has a lot of experience playing together at this point and is, you know, veteran heavy and talented, some of this stuff is amateur hour and it shouldn't be happening. And I do think tackling, a lot of it is effort and caring and giving a shit and putting your head down and willing to, you know, deliver a blow. So the fact that the tackling has been as piss poor as it's been, I do think is indicative of a team that's just not playing with a lot of heart. And I hate saying it, but Campbell's kind of right near the top of that. It's not just Campbell, though, you know. Talked about Stokes. He gave up the long completion yesterday to Davis that he should have never given up. He continues to look bad. Savage continues to look bad. Had the one play in the end zone where, was it Savage, right, where Wilson was on the sidelines. I mean, Wilson should have just ran out of bounds or thrown away. He's on the sidelines, Brett Favre style, still trying to make a play. Savage comes across. He's got to pick that off. That was a tailor-made pick. Savage dropped it. Couldn't hang out, you know? So, yeah, you talked about the special teams disasters, and you're right. I mean, it's not just the team, and it's not, you're right, it's not the talent, and it's everybody. Everybody is responsible for this disaster where we're at this point in the season, so for sure. They might not even be favorites, I want to say, because you touched on it, and Kyle just did too. Right now, they are 5.5-point favorites to beat Washington, which is insane, but that's where they are right now. Okay, so thank you, Ziggy. We move on to Rich, who writes in, so I don't see a solution for this team in the free agent wide receiver pool. In fact, trading draft capital now to try to fix this season is like doubling down on a 10-high poker hand. The only hope for this season is moving Jenkins to a guard and let someone else take over right tackle. As of today, they should still beat Washington, the Bears, and at least the Lions at home. As of now, they are underdogs to the rest of their schedule. 6-10 last year got those teams the 10-12 draft picks. Sigh, Rich. And then Rich has a second question that he sent late tonight. Say, is it time to try Toure, as in Samari Toure, the wide receiver? So, okay, Rich, good stuff. Let's get to that. Yeah, I don't see a solution as far. I don't think any of these wide receivers that they can get are going to move the needle. Robbie Anderson got traded today from Carolina to Arizona, so that's off the table. Just ask yourself, would Robbie Anderson have fixed this mess? Like, in your heart of hearts, do you really believe Robbie Anderson was going to fix this? Even DJ Moore, who I think is a wonderful wide receiver, which it would take a lot of draft capital to get him, but even if they were willing to do that, do you really think DJ Moore would fix all this? When the offensive line is getting their asses kicked and the coach won't get the ball to Aaron Jones? Again, there's no wide receiver that's going to come in and fix any of this. Odell Beckham's not going to come in and fix this. Will Fuller's not going to fix. There's no wide receiver that can fix this. Unless you want to, like, are you going to dig up and reanimate the corpse of Don Hutson? Maybe. You know, you want to bring back Jerry Rice circa 1986? Maybe. Otherwise, no. Because they're not going to be able to trade for Justin Jefferson, I'll just tell you that right now. So, and you're right. I mean, I wouldn't trade draft. I don't even know, do you want to trade draft capital? If this looks like it might be Rodgers' last year, you're absolutely right, Rich. I don't think you should be pulling from the future to try to salvage this mess. No. You only make a move like that if you think, you know what, we got a really good chance to win the Super Bowl. We got a shot at this freaking thing. Let's roll the dice. That's when you make a move like that, not when you're 3-3. You know, this isn't baseball. You can't just trade for a right fielder and plug him in at right field and go, okay, you're going to bat third and everything is fine. You got to get him in. He's got to learn the playbook. He's got to build chemistry with Rodgers. That all takes time. That's not just going to happen right away. How many in-season trades have you ever seen move the needle for a team to win the Super Bowl? This can't be that many in league history. So I agree with you, Rich. Amen. I agree with you. And then on your point on Toure, I think it is time. I don't know why Juwan Winfrey is getting a look over Toure. Juwan Winfrey, I know Rodgers loves him. He doesn't do anything special. He had the one drop yesterday. He's just a guy. You know? He's your average guy. Toure, at least, his preseason, but Toure showed a real ability to create separation. Looked very smooth. You know, felt like a guy who had earned a larger look. So I think it would be time to activate Toure. Yes, absolutely. Why not? It couldn't hurt. All right, our next one comes from, Rich. Comes from my former old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host, bestest friend in the world, Adam Summers, who writes simply, this team just sucks. Right now, yeah. Dude, it sucked so hard once that game was decided and the Jets players were like running to the corner, because I was in 107, so it was right down in my corner. The Jets players were like running to the corner and like, if you saw it on TV, I don't know if they showed it, but they were like hyping up the fans and the Jets fans were all cheering. And I was like, how the fuck is this happening at Lambeau Field? Like, this is humiliating. I don't even care about the Sauce Gardner thing after the game. He's an idiot. He put out a cheese head on, whatever. I don't give a shit. But the Jets fans hyping up the Jets players hyping up the Jets fans. And I was like, this is embarrassing. You know, hopefully these guys, is this going to stick in the Packers craw? At all? It should. I don't know if it will. I'll tell you what. If I never hear another goddamn J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets chant for the rest of my life, it'll be too soon. I heard enough of that. Do you guys have another chant? I know you haven't won anything since Nixon was in the White House, so this is like one of you. This is as close to a Super Bowl as you've been. I know they had the Rex Ryan era, but you know what I mean. The first couple years with Rex. But I was like, this is like a big deal for you guys, huh? Winning a mid-October game at Lambeau? Okay, whatever. I wasn't mad at first. And then, like, I was in the bathroom after the game, and some Jets fan was like, I love Packers fans' tears. I was like, fuck you. Like, what do you care? We have no rivalry with you. That was starting to get mad then. I had to calm down a little bit, because I was getting pretty hot. But, all right, anyways, our next one comes from Clown Convention, who writes in, Lemps, sorry you were in attendance for that tire fire. Out of frustration, I'll keep it short. The constant breakdowns on simple things give this team no shot at winning right now. I'll start with picking up blocks and missing throws and drops on short passes. I'll move to the egregious, allowing a big kick return even after getting a 15-yard shorter kickoff. I'll end with the obvious with a block punt for a touchdown. Still, I'm not giving up the ship because the NFC is marginal, and as cliche as it is, it's a long season Clown Convention. So CC, as I call you, I don't know you, but I'm going to call you that. I feel like we have a vibe now. It was, you know, it's so fun going to Lambeau, but it was, I mean, obviously the game was a bummer. I'm going to talk about some things I saw quick. An eventful day in 107, when people started booing, and it started getting louder, there was a gentleman that was sitting behind us that was not happy with the people booing, so he was screaming at those of us who were booing that we were being bad fans, and people were yelling back, so that was fun. And then at one point, the people, like three or four rows in front of us, wanted to start the wave when the Packers were on offense, and then myself and some other people were shouting at them, and that... Luckily, we shouted that down pretty quick. It kind of started, and then it quickly died, the wave. Starting the wave while they're on offense. In 2022. But these people wanted to do it. So they tried a couple of times, and then they gave up. So just like weird vibes in Section 107. So those are a couple of things I saw at the game. There were multiple people yelling to put Jordan Love in. So that's a real... You know, that's kind of a sign of where the fan base is at with Rodgers right now. That was not late in the game either. That was, like, early in the third quarter. So, yeah. There was some weird stuff going on in the stands for sure. But you're right. It is a lot of simple stuff. It's a lot. There's a play today I saw. Was rewatching. It was a sack. Bakhtiari forgets to pick up the stunt. The Jets run a simple stunt with their front three, I believe it was. I think they had 3D linemen in. They're running a simple twist, a simple stunt, and Bakhtiari just fails to pick up the guy coming around the edge. Kind of wreaks havoc on the whole thing, and Rodgers ends up getting sacked. So, you know, simple stuff like that. How does that happen? Yeah, you're right, you know. Throws that Rodgers has never missed before. He's missing. And the special team stuff was, you know, it was bad. The block punt, again, it can't happen. It can't happen. If you're a serious team, it can't happen. But you know what? You make a good point. The NFC is very bad. There's only four teams in the NFC with winning records, which I didn't realize until after the game, and it blew me away. The Giants, Philly, Dallas, and Minnesota. Everybody else is 3-3 or worse. So, yeah, you know, I don't think it's time to necessarily give up. It's not looking great, but yeah, I understand what you're saying there. There's a lot of time left for sure. So thank you for that, CC. I want to make sure I got these all. So hold on, guys. Kyle, Rich, Adam, CC. We have... Is this the final email? I'm sorry, this is probably something Elaine to listen to. I should have, like, ranked these out. I believe this is the final email. I don't see another one. If I missed one and you sent it, I apologize. I think this is the last email. It's from the other Kyle. Kyle, who used to have Twitter, got rid of it, got it again, and got rid of it again. Kyle writes... His email is titled Lemps Talkin' S-U-C-K... Suck, suck, suck. Wrote and deleted a longer email, but it can be summed up with, this team has been mediocre for most of 6 weeks with a few flashes here or there, and straight up terrible for the past game and a half. Pretty easy to coach when you're rolling, but Matt LaFleur hasn't been able to show he is up to the task when it gets tough. Hope he can figure it out. Question is this, what the hell is going on with A.J. Dillon? Feels like he isn't running nearly as well as he was last year. Because let's talk about LaFleur. Because you're right, flashes. I mentioned that after the New England game, I believe it. Flashes was kind of the key word for me. And we've seen flashes of a really good team, but that's all we've seen are flashes. And 6 weeks in, we're getting pretty close to, you know, you is who you is. And that might be all they is. But the LaFleur thing is an interesting point. Because each of the last 2 weeks, I don't know if you've seen these quotes, but Kayvon Thibodeau, the first-round pick for the Giants, was he the number two pick in the draft this year? Was it this year or last year? I can't remember. But he said after the London game, he said something to the effect of, like, we knew if we took them down to the deep end that they were going to drown, that they couldn't swim. It's one thing for, you know, a young defensive end to say that. But then LaFleur's best friend, Robert Saleh, who I didn't know this graduated from NMU. I don't know how I didn't know that, because I was like, you know, I'm from Marquette. I think he was at NMU when I was in Marquette. But anyways, NMU should probably make a bigger deal of that. But Saleh, who's LaFleur's best friend, said after the game, you know, the message at halftime was keep delivering body blow after body. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but body blow after body blow. Just keep hitting them in the mouth, you know, drag them down to the deep end because we knew they couldn't swim. It's like very, it's almost word for word what Thibodeau said last week. There's teams in the league are starting to figure this out. The Packers are nothing to be afraid of. They're soft, you know? They can't take a shot. No toughness. That's on LaFleur. You know? So the last couple weeks, yeah, you've had a couple of teams that have wanted to make the game tough. They've wanted to make it a strong man's game, a street fight. And the Packers have wilted. You know? So you're right. LaFleur's right now, this is the first time, I mean, first time in his career he's lost back-to-back games. This is the first real adversity he's faced. And right now, he doesn't look up to the task of turning it around. Not saying he won't, but he doesn't look like he's up to the task. No. So, yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. Hopefully he can figure it out. Now, your question about A.J. Dillon, I'm glad you brought that up because I've been wondering this about A.J. Dillon quietly the last couple of weeks. But yesterday was the first time, I mean, I really know, other than the one, I believe it was a 19-yard run he had, he did nothing. He's not bringing anything to the table. You know, they talked about all the work he's put in as catching passes. It was going to be a real element of his game this year. He's been useless catching passes. It's a waste of a play throwing him the ball at this point. And he doesn't look like he's, I don't know. And I think part of it is the usage. He shouldn't be splitting carries with Jones. He shouldn't. I don't care about Jones' size and saving him. You got to win games now, baby. Jones should be getting the carries. And Dillon should be, you know, coming in spots. You know, he's your change of pace guy. You know, Dillon's the guy, to me, in a perfect world. You're chasing Jones around for three quarters. He's tired you out. And here comes Dillon in the fourth when you're exhausted to hammer your ass into the ground. That's, I think, how they should be used. And they're not being used. It's like a timeshare. I don't know what's going on here. So I think they've overvalued Dillon a little bit. I think we all kind of did. I don't think he's a split carries guy. He's more of a kind of like the way Tampa used Mike Alstott once upon a time, a little bit. I think that's probably more of the role for him. Hopefully they start going that way. So, yeah. Thank you to Kyle. Thank you to both Kyles. Kyle's writing in. I was a little nervous, Kyle, because you didn't write in last night. You wrote in today, so both Kyles have been heard from. Okay, we move to Facebook Messenger now. Hold on a second here. It's going to be a long pod, but you know what? We're kind of at a crisis point with this team right now, so I don't really feel like that's bad. I go a little long. Okay, this first one comes from Sean. He writes, the problem on a football team are either related to, one, the talent or the players, the talent of the players, two, coaching, three, culture. We know these players are talented because we have seen this team succeed every year for the past 3 years. We know LaFleur and the recent coaching staffs have been good, except special teams. So I think it is the culture of the issues arising between Rodgers and LaFleur. LaFleur is a good coach, but I think he is soft and concedes to Rodgers on just about everything. When I see conversations between LaFleur and Rodgers, it looks like LaFleur is always asking Rodgers what he wants to do. I think LaFleur's weakness is that he is just a little too nice and always thinks he can figure it out. At what point during today's game did Jair Alexander start thinking about his comments last week? I know it's blasphemous, but I am questioning how good Kenny Clark really is. I love the guy and rooted for him at UCLA, but when the run defense has been suspect almost his entire time as a Packer. Okay. Good stuff there, a lot to unpack. I'm like the unpack guy. Everybody sends me all their thoughts. That's okay, though. I like that. I fucking welcome it, of course. As long as you guys know the show's going to be a little long as a result, then I don't mind. I do think there's issues between LaFleur and Rodgers. Yeah, and you know what? I've thought that there are for a while now. Yeah, I would guess a lot of us have. I think LaFleur has to swallow his pride a lot with Rodgers. I think he has to bite his tongue a lot with having Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. You know, example, yesterday Rodgers is after the game going, we need to simplify things. Simplify. And even LaFleur today basically said, I don't really know what he means by that. You know? I think LaFleur, I don't think he's always happy with how Rodgers runs the team. No, I don't think so. I think Rodgers does change a lot of the plays. As I've said before, I think Rodgers runs the version of the LaFleur offense that he finds acceptable. I think that has to drive Matt LaFleur absolutely batshit insane. He has to concede to him a lot because Rodgers is the delicate genius. He is the sensitive genius. Don't want to upset him. You know, and I think a lot of that probably drives LaFleur nuts. Yeah. Like, do I think LaFleur would be crushed if Rodgers retires after this year? No, LaFleur got his extension. He's locked in. I think there's a part of him, he'd never admit this publicly, but I think there's a part of him that probably would welcome that. To get a quarterback in there who will run the thing the way he wants it run. Yeah. I'd like to see LaFleur, you're right though, I think he's a little too nice. I would like to see him, I said last week, I'd like to see him get a little tougher on Rodgers. Because I do think a lot of this stuff is Rodgers changing the plays. Or not running the plays the way that they're intended. And I think, you know, I'd like to see LaFleur get after him a little bit more on that. I agree with you. You know, I think he's kind of, LaFleur looks at it like, you know, if I just bite my tongue and swallow my pride and I can balance all this out, he can be good and we can put this thing together and we can win. You know? Swallow my pride to make the bigger thing work. But it's not working right now, so he may need to change his approach with regards to Rodgers a little bit. I would like to see that. At what point did Ja start thinking about his comments last week? I don't know. Ja played pretty well. He had 3 pass breakups. That was his best game of the year, I thought. So, I don't know about that. You know, I don't know if I agree with you on Kenny Clark. I think Kenny's pretty good. I think a lot of the issues this year have been with the linebackers, particularly the inside guys, struggling. I think that's probably more of an issue than Kenny. Because I thought they were pretty good against the run last year with Campbell playing well, you know. So I think a lot of that is the guys behind him more than it is him. He's probably a part of it, but I think that's more on the guys behind him, yeah. So thank you for that, Sean. Our next one comes from Rob. I don't know if Rob wants me to say his full name, so I won't. Okay. Rob says, we are a bad team, not a bad roster, from top to bottom. I've been saying all season I was done with the 12 drama. He lacks accountability, yet seeking to blame the team before taking the blame. As the leader of the team, the QB, rightly or wrongly, is held to a different standard. He needs to see how QBs like Wilson respond, as he took the blame for the bad offensive performance. I really am not like him being vocal about the team being negative or responding to the questions the media is asking them. Why 12? Because they are being honest, or because it isn't you, or taking shine away from anything you may say on your weekly catch-up with Pat McAfee and chums? I personally didn't see what Alexander said wrong, and how dare he say something without getting 12's approval. Matt LaFleur's comment on Jones only getting 3 touches in the first half was interesting. He said straight away, we need to do better. Either 12 is checking out of his suggested play choices, or Matt LaFleur isn't scheming correctly. Either way, Matt LaFleur needs to manage 12 better or call better plays. See, I'm not blaming it all on 12, LOL. Tight ends and wide receivers need to stop these drops. There were far too many in the game, and it's hard on us getting into any rhythm. The offensive line, just wow. Do they want to get rid of 12 as the protection was so bad? Plain and simple, get your best players into their best positions. Defense on the whole was a little better this week, but that's saying something. But the tackling was an issue again, and the soft coverage isn't working. First half was a slightly better showing, especially when 23 was covering his man a lot more. Lastly, special teams, a game of two halves. At this point, my thumb's hurting from the rant. There's a lot of problems, and I really don't know how we fix it. Are we lacking leaders, or are we lacking the stomach and listening to them? You decide. Rob from London, UK. Ha ha, and great show, by the way. Well, thank you for that, Rob. Thank you for the kind words about the show. I always appreciate that, of course, as I said to you on Facebook. Okay, a lot to unpack here. I'm going to stand up for a minute. Oh, my God, hold on. Oh, sitting on this stool is not comfortable. I got to get a better chair down here. Maybe I should start a Kickstarter to get me a better chair for my Packer room for the show. Okay, so a lot to talk about here. Yeah, Rodgers does lack accountability a lot of the time. It was funny yesterday hearing him say, I need to raise my play a tick. It's more than a tick, Aaron. It's more than a tick. I'll tell you that, buddy. He needs to be a lot better. I think Rodgers is still sort of, we need to simplify things. We need to do this. I got to play tick better. And a lot of it does start with you, Aaron. And yeah, you know, not taking accountability, that's been an issue with Rodgers for as long as he's been in Green Bay. So it's not great. It doesn't surprise me at this point, though. I'll say that. Yeah, I didn't like the stuff with Ja either. I thought that was weird that he kind of called him out after the London game about, oh, I don't like those comments from Ja. I'm going to have to talk to him about that. Like, Ja was just being honest and saying, if we lose next week, I'm going to worry. Well, they lost next week, so imagine he's worried. Let's see. Yeah, your comment about LaFleur. I think a lot of it is Rodgers checking out of plays. Or not running them the way that they're intended. Running the play the way he wants it run. And I do think LaFleur swallows his pride a lot on that. Absolutely. Tight ends and wide receivers. Yeah, they need to be better. I thought people were a little too excited about Tonyan 10 catches for 90 yards. I mean, you know, I don't know if Tonyan's, I don't think he's that special. I know we all love the guy, but I don't. All right, I'm trying to find the stuff I haven't talked about already, Rob, here, let's see, because you wrote a lot of great stuff, for sure. The defense had some moments, you're right, it was nice to see, it was nice to see, like I said, them put John Wilson, the soft zone coverage. There was one play where, there's still a little bit too much in zone for my liking, there was the one play where they had, I don't remember who the wide receiver was. It was in motion. Ja was over the left. Ja was lined up. What would be the Jets' left side. So the Jets have their wide receiver going left to right. Ja stays in position. It tipped the hand to me that they were going to be in zone. So the Jets just swung the wide receiver out to the left and flipped it to him. He's got a wall in front of him, and it was a big gain. You remember the play I'm sure I'm talking about. So that was an area where they, again, took advantage of the Packers being in zone. Still happening too much for my liking. Again, did go man more and did blitz more. Now I want to see more of that and more of that. They got to stop the run, though. And the tackling, like you said, the tackling has to be better. They don't tackle better. A lot of this is moot. Football is blocking and tackling. It's a big reason why the Packers suck right now. They can't block anybody and they can't tackle for shit. You know, all this stuff, the spread offenses and analytics, it's all, a lot of it's window dressing. It's a simple game. Block and tackle. They can't block and they can't tackle. That's why they can't win. So, yeah. Are we lacking leaders or are we lacking the stomach to listen to them? I think they've got good leaders. You know, I just feel like there's just not fire right now. I don't feel like those... I think they've got guys who could be good leaders and have been, but maybe they aren't being good leaders this year. I'll say that. Hope that answered your question, Rob. That was an excellent question. Don't be a stranger. Right back again. Okay. Hold on a second here. One more. Can you believe this? Oh, my God. This might be the longest one I've done. Last one. I give it to my former Old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host. My other former Old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host. One of my bestest friends in the world, Gene Bosling. Gene writes in. Okay, we're going to take this to a dark place pretty quickly. Though by this point in the pod, I'm sure it's already been pretty dark. Anywho, this team has 5 of its next 7 on the road. The 2 home games are the Mike Mack returns game and a Thursday night game against Derrick Henry. There's a plausible chance they're still in the middle of the playoff race at the end of that, and certainly a chance they make up ground on the Vikings. There's also a chance, especially if they're this inept at home, that they drop enough of those games to put themselves on the brink. Realistically, though, they're going to be in the hunt long enough that you can't make any major changes until December. At that point, Jordan Love will have like 4 games until they have to make a decision on his 5th-year option. They can pick it up, but it'd create a tough cap situation again and would bring up all sorts of questions about how Rodgers would take it. So basically, my question is this. At what point does them limping along with Rodgers become counterproductive? I'm not saying they'll sit him, and I'm not even sure they should. The guy is the 2-time defending MVP, and if he clicks with these receivers at some point, he could get hot enough for them to string some games together. His contract also buys him a ton of leverage through probably 2024. But there's also a scenario where all we're doing is dragging this out to a point where he retires after the season, and they still don't know what they have in Love. I'm just wondering where the point is that you go to Rodgers, start a back-channel conversation about his future, and try to get some certainty. Okay, so this is a hell of a question. You sent me this, in fairness, you sent me this last night, and it's a hell of a question, and I've been thinking about it a lot. So, you're right. There's a chance that things just don't get better. We'll start from the beginning with your question. There's a chance that things don't get better. Maybe they beat Washington and Detroit, but they lose to Buffalo, and they lose, you know, if they lose to Buffalo, Philly, Miami, Tennessee, that's 7 losses right there. You know, at best, so at that point, you're talking 10-7. Again, I'm not even talking about games against the Vikings and LA. So at that point, yeah, it gets tough to be a playoff team. So let's talk about your scenario where it's December and they're struggling and it doesn't look like it's going to happen this year. I think at that point, okay, so you said at what point do you go to Rodgers and start it back? I think if it's not going well and it doesn't look like it's going to, you have to start that conversation in early December. Yeah, somewhere around the point where you've got about a month to go in the season, you've got to talk to Rodgers and figure out what's he doing. And get some sort of clear. You're right. You have to get something from him. Just so you know how to kind of approach the rest of the season. Now, having said that, it is hard to envision a scenario where they would sit Rodgers and play Love if they know that Rodgers is going to retire. It feels like a rather dubious ending for Rodgers. You know, a sad ending for him that he'd be benched in favor of Jordan Love for his last few games as a Packer. Not impossible to imagine the team doing that, but it's kind of tough to imagine them doing that. It would be for the best, because you're right, it would be for the best in that scenario. Again, if it looks like you're not going to make the playoffs and it looks like he may not come back, it would be best to give yourself some sort of extended look at Love, because you're right, they have to pick up his option this offseason for 2024 at about, it's about $15 million, I believe, $15 or $16 million for the 1 year. My guess, if I had to guess how it plays out, if they're bad, let's say if they're bad, worst case scenario, they're bad and Rodgers isn't giving you any clarity. Unfortunately, you probably have to just play Rodgers the rest of the way and, you know, make a decision on Love at the end of the year. And I don't know if they'd pick up his option or not without having any real look at him. My guess is they probably would, just so they don't lose him at the end of next season for nothing. Potentially, anyway. So, yeah, I hope that made sense. My guess is if they're bad and Rodgers isn't giving any clarity, they'd still play Rodgers and just cross their fingers and pick up Love's extension and hope that they have some sort of answer by then. Because you wouldn't want to see Rodgers, because Rodgers is the kind of guy who could make it sour, you know, and could have not quite a Favre-esque ending in Green Bay, but not a great ending. And I think the point of giving him that extension, he said himself, I'm hoping to retire as a Packer. I will retire as a Packer now. I'm not playing for another team. You know, I think the point of that was so they could, one way or the other, wrap this thing up on a positive note, the opposite of the way they did with Favre. If you were to bench Rodgers towards the end, it could get nasty, like it did with Favre. So I'm at 114 minutes, or an hour and 14 minutes. I hope that made sense, buddy. So, yeah, let's hope that it doesn't happen. Let's say that. Okay. So, those were all the questions and comments. Thank you all so much for sending them, especially after a loss like that. It's always appreciated. Big picture time now. 75 minutes in. Good grief. If you're still listening at this point, give yourself a pat on the back. You get a gold star. Coming into the 2022 season, fans of the Green Bay Packers expected to see a team similar to the others of the Matt LaFleur era, i.e., an excellent regular season club that would have a great chance to both reach and win Super Bowl 57 in Glendale, Arizona. In fact, many, the host of this show included, believed this year's edition would come out with an extra fire and added hunger, ready to prove they were indeed ready to get over the hump, that the playoff failures of the past few years were fully behind them. The difference between what we expected in more hopeful times and what we've seen six games in couldn't be more glaring. What we've seen is a team almost completely devoid of fire or passion or heart. A team mostly going through the motions. Surely the embarrassing loss in London to the New York Giants would be the spark, the wake-up call this club desperately needed. They're back at home. They've won 15 regular season games in a row there. What we saw against the Jets instead was a Packers team that, again, played with little or no emotion. In fact, it may have been a season low in that department. What we saw was a team that once again wilted against a more physical opponent. What we saw was a team that sure looks like its best days are behind them, and they know it. Essentially, what we saw was a team that, well, looks like it's, to use a popular term of the day, quietly quit. It is true, however, that there is a lot of season left. It's not too late for this team to find that fire, that hunger, that passion, and start turning things around. It isn't over yet. But unless they ignite themselves, and fast, the idea of this team being a championship contender will become as laughable as the performance it turned in on Sunday. Okay, so that just about wraps up this lengthy episode of Lemps Talkin' Pack. I hope you had, again, I don't know if fun is the right word, but I hope this helps you feel a little better about everything. Even if it's just, hey, Chris is pissed off and so am I. I think that would make things a little bit better, right? Hopefully. We look ahead to next week now. The Packers will be back in action, kicking off a three-game road trip in our nation's capital with a game against the Washington Commanders at beautiful FedEx Field. That one is set for a noon Lambeau time kickoff. Oh, FedEx Field. The worst stadium in at least the NFL. It might be the worst stadium in the country as a whole, regardless of the sport. It is a toilet. So I was there in 2010 for the game. Packers lost in overtime. Donovan McNabb was the Washington quarterback. Show you how long ago that was. That was a game where Finley blew his knee out. Matthews had like three sacks in the first half and then pulled his hamstring. Hey, there's a surprise. And he missed the entire second half. They struggled. Brandon Jackson had like the one offensive highlight. He had a really long run. And they lost. It was not a fun day. It was my birthday too, by the way. Did I mention that? It was my 29th birthday. But that stadium sucks. All the credit card machines went down. So, like, you couldn't get a beer at the concession stand with a card. So everybody was in line at the ATMs. And Adam and Gene and I went. And Adam missed, like, a huge chunk of the first, I think he missed the entire first quarter, just trying to get money out of the ATM because the line was so long to get a beer. It's a toilet, and then you know the issues they've had in recent years with the flooding when the rain came, and last year when that rail broke and they almost crushed poor Jalen Hurts. Like, it's a dump. It's a toilet. So it's fitting to host this current Packers team, right? I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Calm down. It's been a tough year for Washington thus far, 2-4 record. The only team in the suddenly powerful NFC East, no longer the NFC least, with a losing record. In fact, no Carson Wentz for them in this one, though. He broke his finger Thursday night against Chicago, so he's out for a while, I believe 4 to 6 weeks. So it'll be backup Taylor Heinicke under center for Washington, most likely. You may remember him as their starter last year at Lambeau for the throwback game, the first game with the 50s uniforms, which they may not bring back after Sunday's performance. I thought Heinicke played all right in that one. Thought he was solid for them. I don't remember his stat line exactly. I think I have that here, though. He was, what did he do in that game? 25 of 37, 268, one touchdown, one pick. He also ran it 10 times for 95 yards. So he's a threat with his legs as well. Yeah, thought he was solid. Vegas, again, somehow has the line for this is Packers minus 5.5. I can't figure that for the life of me. My jaw dropped when I saw that. That feels way too high for this Packers team, but I guess we shall see. And of course, I'll be back to recap that one. Win, lose, or draw next Sunday night, Monday morning by the time you hear it. Don't worry, I'll be back in my regular time slot for that one. I'll be back on Monday mornings. It'll be there, so keep your eyes and your ears open for that. And yes, I'll keep you posted. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lemphasis. This has been Lemph's Talk and Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. Thanks for sticking around this long if you still have. I love you, I love you, I love you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack, go.